think Wisconsin should have a hunting season for woodchucks? There was a public hearing on a bill that would allow a hunting season on the woodchuck, also known as the groundhog, at the state capitol this week. Do you think that's a good idea? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will talk with our guest about the problem some people are having with woodchucks. And we will also talk about the problems some communities are having with Canada geese. The village of Oconomowoc Lake plans to round up and euthanize Canada geese because they are becoming a nuisance and making a mess, if you know what I mean, in village parks. Is that okay with you? Would you be okay with that if your community wanted to round up Canada geese and euthanize them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Stanley Temple is a professor emeritus in conservation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for being with us. So let's start with the woodchuck hunting proposal. Trappers and sportsmen are urging the Assembly's Natural Resources Committee to approve this bill that would let people hunt and trap woodchucks in Wisconsin. What's your general reaction to the proposal?
Well, in general, I'd say it's a solution to a problem that really doesn't exist on a statewide level and could much more efficiently be solved in a very different way.
And that problem is that some complain that woodchucks are burrowing in their yards and causing damage on their property?
That's correct. There's no question that in certain very specific situations, woodchucks can be a problem for some people. But by and large, if you look at woodchucks across the state of Wisconsin, they are not a general nuisance. They are not so abundant that there's an urgent need to control their numbers statewide. And modern wildlife management, when faced with a situation like this, almost invariably has a solution that says target the individual animals that are causing the problem and target them when and where they are causing the problem, not sort of opening up a broad hunting season for the species across the entire state.
Yeah, and from the reading I did on this subject, Wisconsin does have that option in place that a homeowner can get rid of or destroy a woodchuck that is causing damage on his or her property. Isn't that right?
That's exactly correct, and of course, as I said, that is the preferred method of dealing with animals like woodchucks that can cause a nuisance. You're targeting the specific animal at the specific place that they're causing the issue, and yes, already you might say there is a solution, a very workable solution to what's perceived to be a problem, but generally it is not something that modern wildlife management would be in favor of essentially opening a general season on a species just because it's causing damage in some specific place. It does get done. That does happen. And it often happens because legislators, not wildlife managers, have tried to intervene.
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize that the woodchuck is on Wisconsin's protected species list. Was there a problem with the population of the woodchuck, or is there a problem with the population of the woodchuck?
Well, all animals are protected in Wisconsin unless they are specifically taken off that list.
I see.
For a particular reason. We do that with game species that are considered to be valuable natural resources because they can provide healthy food for people and other types of natural resource benefits. We do it in cases where a species is such a general nuisance that we don't put them on the protected list. So, for example, we don't protect rats and house mice in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. So is the woodchuck, though, does it have a pretty healthy population? Is it distributed across most of Wisconsin? Give us some idea of where most of the woodchucks are and where they are and how many there are.
Well, woodchucks are doing quite well in Wisconsin. They are no more abundant than they probably should be. They are widely distributed across the state in virtually all of the habitats that we have in Wisconsin. They primarily come into contact with people, of course, in urban and suburban settings when they are diggers. They prefer to dig burrows. And if you're a woodchuck looking to dig a burrow, one of the things you look for is soil. It's very easy to dig in. And often the very friable, disturbed soil that we create around landscaping walls and foundations of buildings are places that woodchucks are attracted to because it's easy digging. But woodchucks are not overabundant in Wisconsin. They have certainly over time gone through fluctuations in their numbers. They are probably, I would say, generally on a rise in Wisconsin in terms of abundance and distribution, but nowhere near the point where you would put them in the category of overabundant.
We are talking with Stanley Temple, who is a professor emeritus in conservation at UW-Madison, talking with him right now about the proposed woodchuck hunt in Wisconsin. There's a public hearing this week at the state capitol on Wednesday on this bill that would allow a hunting season for the woodchuck or the groundhog. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to the phones. We have Tom in Burlington with a question. Hi, Tom.
I'm calling from Burlington. We're having our Chicago or our Chocolate Fest today.
Ooh.
This weekend, by the way. But anyway, I had a real experience 2 days ago. I don't want to kill animals at all. I have a little shack that I go to out on the water, and it doesn't have any electricity, and it's away from everybody. And it's about 10 feet up off the water. So anyway, I was sitting there in my favorite place, minding my own business, and this little woodchuck peeped his head around the corner, and then I was kind of scared, and I made a noise, and he went back. And then he came, a year ago, it was a badger, and I jumped up on my chair, and I'm sitting on the chair, and I'm looking at this badger.
Oh, my goodness. You're lucky to see a badger in the wild, Tom, but let's get back to the woodchuck.
Oh, it was scary. Yeah. It's scary. This thing's looking at me, and he's bold as it can be. Anyway, so this woodchuck comes at me, or the woodchuck comes out, and then there were three woodchucks, and they all stared there and stood at me, and I'm sitting there, and my legs are paralyzed. I'm totally paralyzed. I couldn't move. And I said, I can't even get up on the chair now. But anyway, my question is, will they destroy the foundation of my place? Will they bite me? Can I hit them with an oar? What am I going to do I want to keep them, but it's scary.
Let's get a response from our guest. So should we be afraid of woodchucks, Stanley?
Well, Tom, I can assure you woodchucks are no threat to your person. But they do become quite accustomed to people when they're living in developed areas. And if they are not harassed in any way, they can often become fairly bold around people. But they're no threat to people at all. The fact that you have a badger in the neighborhood might actually make those woodchucks a little more wary because badgers might actually eat the woodchuck. But the damage that woodchucks do is very specific, as I explained earlier, to certain types of situations. And wildlife managers will always recommend that before you consider some type of lethal solution to your conflict, that you try a non-lethal solution first. And that often involves doing something that will discourage the animal from engaging in the activity that you find annoying. Often that can be putting up some kind of a barrier, like a fence, to keep them out of the area where they might be inclined to do damage. In some cases, it might be a repellent, something that either is unpleasant to the animal or something that scares them away from the area. But generally, wildlife managers will always prescribe, if you have a problem with an animal, solve the problem when and where it's occurring, use non-lethal forms of control first, and there are many, many of those available. And as a last resort, use a lethal approach.
Our guest is Stanley Temple. He is a professor emeritus in conservation at UW-Madison. He's also a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. He's talking with us at this time about the proposed woodchuck hunt in Wisconsin. There is a bill in the state legislature that would allow the hunting of woodchucks. Do you think Wisconsin should do this or not? Why or why not? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. A little later in the program, we're also going to talk about what communities can do when they have large populations of Canada geese. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are talking about conflicts with wildlife. You know, some people are having problems with woodchucks in Wisconsin, and there is a bill in the state legislature that would allow for a woodchuck hunting season and trapping season. We're talking with our guest about that, Stanley Temple, a professor emeritus in conservation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Says that he's not fully behind this idea, that it is a you can have a much more targeted solution than a hunting season if homeowners are having problems with woodchucks causing some damage. In a little bit, we will also talk about problems that the village of Oconomowoc Lake is having with Canada geese. Apparently, there are so many that they're their waste is making a problem all over parks and the lake itself, and they're becoming a nuisance in other ways. And so the village plans to round them up and euthanize them. What do you think of that idea? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Lots of callers about the woodchucks, but I wanted to, just before we go back to the phones, Stanley, talk a little bit about the woodchuck. I always called it a groundhog, and now I hear that it also has a nickname, the whistle pig. Just tell us, what is the woodchuck?
Well, the woodchuck has lots of local names, and you've named three of the most common. The woodchuck is a member of the squirrel family, but it is most closely related to the animal that we call a marmot. And in fact, the woodchuck is a type of marmot. It's a very large rodent. Obviously, it is one of the largest rodents that we have in Wisconsin. But it is a rodent. It's a squirrel, and most closely related to marmots.
And when Tom in Burlington said that on his property, he saw three woodchucks, you know, looking at him. Were they, do you think that was a family, or what might, I mean, do they hang out like that?
They're very solitary, unlike their mountain relatives, the marmots that people may have seen out in the western mountains that are kind of gregarious. Woodchucks are fairly solitary, so if he saw three of them together, it was almost certainly a family group. It would have been a mother and her litter.
Yeah, I saw the other day, I did see a woodchuck along the side of the road. At first, I thought it was actually hit by a car, but it wasn't. And it was mom and one, just one baby. I'm not sure what you call the baby, but does a woodchuck have one or two or more in a litter?
They're not highly prolific, like a lot of other rodents that we think of as having the potential for explosive growth, which is one of the reasons that I think most wildlife biologists would say that woodchucks really don't have the potential to become super abundant, over abundant, to the point where they need to be controlled on a statewide basis. They have a relatively slow rate of reproduction for a rodent.
Yeah. This proposed hunting season would run from July through December with no bag limits. What do you think of that?
there's absolutely no biological reason for any of that. As I said, right now, if you're having a problem, you can deal with the problem when and where it exists. Woodchucks hibernate for much of the year. So for our woodchucks here in Wisconsin, over most of the state, they are pretty much out of the picture underground hibernating from October, probably in many cases, through April. So the only biological logic for the season that has been proposed is that that's the time when they're above ground and potentially visible.
Yeah, I meant to ask you, too, when they're doing this burrowing, and apparently in the yards and even around the foundation of homes and causing some problems with some homeowners, I mean, are they just looking for a home, or what are they doing?
Like I said, they're burrowing animals. Yeah. They do seek shelter underground, and they seek out places where it is easy to dig a burrow. And they're very good about wandering around the landscape and finding out where those places are. So you said you saw a woodchuck on the side of the road. I'm guessing for many people that's where they most often see them. And the reason is we've created nice gentle slopes that are covered with tasty vegetation. Woodchucks are vegetarians. And we've disturbed the soil so that we've made it loose and easy for them to dig in there. And around the foundations of some homes, around retaining walls, are also places where they like to burrow. The other conflict that people might have with woodchucks is, again, that they are herbivores. They do eat vegetation. And if you are growing a vegetable garden and have a woodchuck in the neighborhood and don't do anything to keep them out of your garden, they're likely to come and sample what you've produced.
Let's take another call. Our next caller is Yvette in Whitewater. Good morning.
Good morning. I thought it would be, I'm glad you have this show. And Professor, thank you for talking. I just want to say, before I say what I'm about to say, I went to Northland College, and I've taught natural resources, and I have a ton of respect for what you're saying about management. But I just wanted to share what it's like to live with woodchucks. I got my own farm in 2009, and the things were already living here, and it's impossible to get rid of them. It's absolutely impossible.
Really? You've tried trapping them or even shooting them?
Well, they're too smart to be trapped. I mean, I have friends that are trappers. The things are too smart to be trapped. And when you have cats and chickens and other stuff, too, I just end up trapping my chickens.
Oh.
So they evade that. Some people have said use kitty litter. That doesn't stop them. And what they do is they actually, well, I have horses, and they burrow underneath the stalls of the horses because, as he was saying, they hibernate. So I think it's probably toasty warm in there for them. But then once the burrow, if you happen to kill the thing, once the burrow is established, the other ones seem to know. So, and it's an extensive burrowing system. If you look at like an image of it online, it's extensive. And
yeah,
it's almost impossible to reseal the damage. And so the reason I'm for the hunt is because I want less numbers.
Yeah.
So that when I do manage to get rid of the thing, that I'll have less of them to deal with. Because I've had a chronic problem now. The concrete floor in my barn is completely collapsed in. Two stalls in my barn are completely collapsed in. I have to fix it three times a year. And I just wanted to give a perspective from someone who has respect for wildlife, is a trained biologist, and is fighting on the front lines here. I don't mean to be dramatic, but it's true.
Yeah. So, and you still have them as we speak, Yvette.
Absolutely. And yeah, I had to make a choice. You know, when he was talking about babies, I had to make a choice this spring. I filled a burrow in, and she might have had babies down there. And I felt awful. But it's like, it's this constant battle with these things.
Well,
you talk about shooting them.
Well,
these things are pretty hard to hit. I mean, they're pretty fast moving.
Stanley?
Well, I can certainly sympathize, and it's a perfect example of the type of very localized problem that can be really serious for some people. The bigger issue, though, is that problem and other problems like it will not go away because we open a statewide hunting season. Landowners like this that are having a problem can already deal with it either themselves or hire one of the wildlife animal damage control outfits that are very experienced and very good at using either non-lethal or lethal approaches to get rid of the individuals that are causing the problem. But the idea that woodchuck hunting would be popular enough, let's face it, woodchucks are not good to eat. They're not spectacular trophies. There really is not a whole lot to motivate a hunter to want to go out and kill large numbers of woodchucks. So even if you did open a season on them statewide, it's unlikely that that approach would reduce the state's woodchuck population to the level where it would alleviate very local specific problems like this landowner is facing.
Yvette, thank you very much for the call. We'll take another call from Jacqueline in Slinger now. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi. I grew up in Appalachia, and when I was young, it was pretty common that we hunted them for food. Or we used them in stews and baked them. I see absolutely no problem with them being on the list of hunted species. They are a pest, and they can be consumed and are tasty.
So I did read someone else. I mean, it might have been a former DNR Secretary George Meyer said they're tasty. I guess you don't speak from experience on that, or do you, Stanley?
Well, I do. Actually, yes, I've tried woodchuck a number of times, and I would hardly put it high on the list of tasty wild game. But, you know, there's a fundamental issue here that I think we should probably, you know, introduce, and that is that there is really no biological or ecological reason that we couldn't hunt woodchucks if society decided we wanted to do that. Modern wildlife managers are very experienced in knowing that if society wants to exploit a species and hunt it, they can arrange the hunt so that it's done in a sustainable way, so that it doesn't cause the population to collapse, doesn't cause big ecological problems. But the issue often today is not so much an issue of biologically could we sustainably hunt a species, but it becomes more of a social issue of should we hunt a species. And we've had a number of instances in recent years where the conflict really isn't over the biological or ecological issues, it's over the social issues, whether it's hunting sandhill cranes, whether it's opening seasons on mourning doves or crows or other species that have not traditionally been thought of as a hunted species. This issue of should we tends to be the one that comes to the fore rather than the biological issue of could we do it.
Yeah. This has come up in the past, and it has failed. So apparently, at least in the past, we as a society decided we didn't want to shoot the woodchuck. Do you have any sense, Stanley, where we are now?
Well, I think you're right, Joy, that you know these issues often do evoke a lot of public input. There was some public input from the Conservation Congress hearings this spring. That is not a very large segment of the Wisconsin citizenry that participate in those hearings, but I think when these controversial proposals are introduced by legislators, they do tend to hear from a much broader segment of society, and often at that point these efforts tend to be abandoned when they see how unpopular they are with a broader constituency.
We'll take a couple more calls on the woodchuck hunting question, and then after the news, we'll move on to the Canada geese issue, as we have many more callers on woodchucks. Larry in Sturgeon Bay is with us. Hi, Larry.
Hi there. I appreciate you taking my call, but I have to vehemently disagree with your your speaker there, and I respect his knowledge, but I don't believe he's ate many woodchucks in his life at all. They love greenery. They're the darkest, very beef-like meat. We've ate them all our lives. I've been to other states where they're on the menu regularly. The idea of the Conservation Congress being a small slice of the population, as a former congressman for that organization, I take a little offense to that, because if you've ever been to a courthouse on Conservation Congress night, there are people standing in the halls, and they are all of society, not just the hunter or the fisherman, you know what I mean? It's the people that have opinions on it in every direction. And it's a beautiful and wonderful Wisconsin forum.
Right, and Larry, on an issue like the woodchuck hunt, was it very divided? The hunters and the outdoors people wanted it, and the non-outdoors people did not?
Well, Joy, you know, in Wisconsin, the woodchuck's always been a bane to the early hunters to the early farmers, because those woodchuck holes would break a workhorse's leg in a heartbeat, you know. And so they've always been on the hit list for farmers and farm families. And like the young lady that called earlier, you know, they can become quite a nuisance when their population is up. Like out in Ohio, when I lived out there, there were woodchucks getting run over like we see raccoons in Door County, you know what I mean? And many people ate them. My family is, like I said, ate them a long time. And I just wanted to share with the professor there that maybe he needs to try a little celery and
Larry, let me say I don't disagree with a single thing that you've said. I've eaten many woodchucks in my life. What I said was that I didn't place them high on my list of gourmet game species. They have to be prepared very carefully in the right way. But you're absolutely right, you know, that the Conservation Congress is a wonderful institution in Wisconsin. We've had great success with it over the years. I'm a strong supporter of that type of democratic process. The issue that has unfortunately sort of become a much more sort of divisive forum on wildlife issues is that the Conservation Congress hearings are often at odds with what you hear from the more general population. And that is what has happened with a number of these issues of opening hunting seasons, where often, for example, sandhill cranes or mourning doves, these issues get narrowly approved in the Conservation Congress hearings. But when you go to the broader public, it tips in the other direction. It's not to say that, you know, either one of those groups has the you know, ultimate best opinion about the subject. It's just that in recent years, there's been this division between the sort of general public and what you hear often in Conservation Congress hearings.
And very briefly, the overall point, we have another caller who says hunting wouldn't solve it, and that's what the problems, and that's what you're saying too. The hunting season would not solve the problems people are having with the woodchuck.
That's correct, and you know, many other states that do hunt woodchucks still have problems with them. It's not as though hunting woodchucks is going to be so popular that it's going to alleviate these conflicts.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back, and we will talk about the problem that some communities, including the village of Oconomowoc Lake, is having with Canada geese. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. The village of Oconomowoc Lake is having a problem with Canada geese, and it plans to round up and euthanize Canada geese because they are becoming a nuisance. So we will spend this segment of the program talking about that conflict, and we'll wonder if you think that's okay or not. Do you live in a community? Do you live in Oconomowoc Lake? What's it like? Are the geese really that big of a problem? Do you live in another community where they have become a problem? In part because if there are a lot of geese congregated, they poop a lot, and people don't appreciate having to clean up that poop or slipping in that poop or having their kids play in that poop. That's part of it. Is euthanizing them the answer, or are there other options? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Stanley Temple. He's a wildlife biologist. He's a professor emeritus in conservation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's also a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. So, Stanley, what about this plan? This the village of Oconomowoc Lake isn't the first community to experience this problem or to use this solution. Can you tell us about this?
No, it's a very widespread problem, Joy. It's not just in Wisconsin. It's a problem across much of the eastern U.S. We've had Canada geese populations that have increased dramatically in recent decades, and along with that increase, they've adopted urban and suburban habitats as an almost ideal place to settle. And they do cause problems. There's no question about that. And in this case, they're often causing problems that actually aggravate the entire community rather than just individual property owners one at a time.
Yeah.
So Canada geese are, of course, a federally protected migratory bird, but because of the abundance of these resident Canada geese, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service does allow wildlife managers in the individual states to approach solutions to these local problems by addressing the issue at a local level. And as we talked about the issue with woodchucks, the Canada goose situation is an almost perfect example, where wildlife managers will offer local communities that are having conflicts with geese the opportunity for non-lethal control mechanisms that can involve a variety of approaches of scaring the birds off in a variety of ways, of trying to reduce their numbers through suppressing their reproduction, again, in a number of ways of doing that, but often as a final resort and often at the community level for economic reasons, the easiest solution to the local problem is during the summer when the geese are molting and can't fly, to literally round them up, corral them, kill them in humane ways, and use the geese as a natural resource, providing food. Where the food goes, often it's going to food shelters. In some cases, it goes to zoos. But making sure that we're dealing with the birds in a humane way and that the product that comes from that is actually put to some use as a resource.
Yeah, in the case of Oconomowoc Lake, the meat would go to local food pantries.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going to do, presuming this plan goes through. It says that the village is moving ahead with hiring a crew from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to round up the geese next month, I guess is when it's planned, and then the geese will be euthanized. What is the humane way to euthanize? How do they kill the geese?
In this case, Joy, I'd have to say I don't know exactly what they're going to do in this particular case, but they're very careful to, in this instance, which is a very sort of public event, you might say, that they don't infringe on any animal cruelty laws and that it's done in a way that I would say probably most people might find that it's humane.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are saying that they'll somehow be gassed, but I don't know how that would work. I mean, you have to bring them someplace to do that. That isn't. But anyway, I'm not sure. Maybe we can look into exactly what they're planning.
There are a number of ways of doing it, and some of them do involve gassing, often with carbon monoxide. Mm-hmm. As a way to euthanize the animal. But I must say, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what they're doing there. There is an online petition that is going around demanding that the village cancel this goose roundup. The creators of the petition are arguing that geese have just as much a right to live as anything or anyone else and should not be killed because of their droppings. They suggested alternatives to the situation. They said that the village of Oconomowoc could organize a cleanup program so the droppings can be disposed of and the geese can still live happily ever after. How about that as an alternative?
Well, as I said, there are always non-lethal alternatives. Mm-hmm. Tolerating the problem, cleaning up the mess, scaring the geese away, you know, preventing them from doing their damage in the places where they're likely to be most offensive to people are all options. Most of those options, I think the reason many villages will perhaps try them, but decide they're too labor-intensive, they're too expensive, and they often end up making the decision to go with a lethal approach, primarily, you might say, on economic grounds. But it's inevitable that these cases of woodchucks, of Canada geese, I mean, we can go all the way to wolves in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. where there are conflicts with people, finding a solution that keeps everyone happy is almost impossible to do in many cases.
The other alternative that this protest group is suggesting is relocating the geese to the nearby Horicon Marsh, a national wildlife refuge that has lots of Canada geese. Is that even possible? Do any communities try to do relocation?
Well, relocation is actually one of the options for certain types of animals. Canada geese are not it's not an option. They can fly. They have very good homing instincts, and they will come right back. And moving the problem from one location to another is literally moving the problem often and not really solving the issue. It's just giving it to someone else to deal with. The large numbers of Canada geese that people see at Horicon Marsh are associated with the fall migration. It's a period when Canada geese are moving through temporarily on their migration south. So, unfortunately, that is not a very biologically feasible solution.
Let's go to the phones. Barbara in Madison has been waiting, and I thank you for waiting. Barbara, you're on the air.
Hi. My daughter lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And when I visit down there, I notice they do not have a problem, and I ask about it, and I was told that they use grape seed to spray the grass in the parks. And I don't know if they're migratory there or resident, but they said that the geese just naturally relocated and no longer come to the parks. That's an option.
Yeah, they apparently don't like grapeseed oil.
They're just repelled by it, and I don't know if that's an option, but I think it could be looked into.
Yeah. No, it's a perfect example of what I said earlier of a non-lethal control mm-hmm. that in this case would involve a repellent, something that the geese don't find attractive. Or the alternative is, of course, to remove what it is that they find attractive. But those options exist. There have been well-studied by wildlife biologists. There are lots of those types of options available. And it really boils down often to the community deciding what's the best fit for their community, both in terms of public opinion, in terms of the economics of getting it done, and often just the feasibility of doing it at a large community scale.
Let's go to Wayne in Green Bay. Hi, Wayne. You're on the air.
Good morning. I kind of disagree, or I really disagree with rounding up the geese and euthanizing them. And I know a food thing is a good idea, and I'm not thinking anything negative about that, as in such as killing the geese, whatever. But it just it I don't think it would work. Geese come back. I don't think it'd be like removing woodchucks. If you remove the woodchucks and they came in and they removed a wide area of them, they're not just going to be right there again. Geese can literally be funneled right back in. 10 minutes after you euthanize them, there's going to be more geese come and land right where they were. I'm a goose hunter, and I was amazed this past year. I was down in Arkansas, first time ever. I went down to hunt, and it's the duck capital of the world, supposedly. And thousands and thousands and thousands of ducks and geese and rice fields everywhere, and they literally put like an 8x8 pole in the middle of the field about 3-4 feet tall and paint it brown on the bottom and put a white and paint the top white, and it looks like an eagle from 100 yards away.
So it scares them away. Yeah, and I'm sorry, Wayne, I'm jumping in because we're almost out of time. Stanley, what if you shoot the geese or you euthanize the geese in one community, will a bunch more just take their place?
Absolutely, and that is one of the sort of downsides of lethal control. The animals will reproduce, they will move and fill the void, so that lethal approaches generally require ongoing repetitive removals, whether it's lethal or translocating the animals. So it becomes not a one effort solution, but it becomes an ongoing effort that you have to do as long as you have a conflict with the birds.
Yeah, and in our final minute, your thoughts on what the village of Oconomowoc Lake is planning on doing? I mean, you think they're doing, if they've tried all the alternatives and they're not working, this is a possible solution for them?
Well, I think it is. It's proven successful in other communities. I mean, I'm not aware of the details of what they've done, but certainly garnering public opinion, responding to the public opinion, trying to satisfy as many constituencies as possible with a solution that they find acceptable is obviously what communities have to do.
Thank you so much for being with us. Stanley Temple, Professor Emeritus in Conservation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Thank you to Nyasia Ellison for producing this program. Thanks to Michelle Johnson, our executive producer, for board operation. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.